anytime we have the opportunity to think about what the Lord has done in our lives individually, and then to share that together just in conversation or in times of prayer and worship, those things are really a privilege. You know, we can meditate on our beds at night and think over what the Lord has done, but there's something that happens when we speak it and when we hear others sharing that just confirms in our heart, you know, He is real. This path that we're on is real. The Bible is true. And it gives us that strength to carry on. And if you could just open to the Psalms, Psalm 120. We have been going through the Songs of Ascent over the past months during our Thursday night Bible readings, and we're getting near the end. And sometimes I like to look back over our Bible studies together and to sort of bring some things out, maybe to refresh our memories, those who were there, or those who aren't able to make it, to kind of bring some of the gleanings that we can thresh it out together. And I thought I would spend a little time this afternoon thinking about the Songs of Ascent, and then maybe in the future return to it a little bit, just to give a brief reminder and recap, in a way, of all that we've seen of the Lord here and what He's shown us over these past months. Because I think these are, we found these to be beautiful psalms, power-packed. There's 15 psalms that are labeled the Songs of Ascent. It's Psalms 120 through 134. Maybe just as we approach our scripture this morning, let's look to the Lord for help. Our God, we give You thanks for this time that we can gather and sing Your praises and sing the praise of Him who died for us on the cross. We love to just bow our hearts in adoration, to lift our eyes to heaven and to see one who is far greater than anyone else we could imagine. And we just love to bow in praise before You. And we are thankful, Lord, for these midweek meetings that we've had over the past few years, and how You have led us as a shepherd leading sheep through Your Word, refreshing our hearts, challenging us, convicting us, comforting us where we need comfort. And we pray that even as we look at a few of those psalms today, that You would do the same and meet the needs of Your people as only You can. We look to You for help in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, just by way of introduction, we have these, you know, we have our memory verse, right? Psalm 119, the longest psalm in the Bible, in the Psalter. And then right after that, you move into what's called the Songs of Ascent. And it goes from 120 to 134. As we discussed on Thursday nights, most people who study these types of things see these psalms as almost a little hymn book that people would sing as they were traveling to Jerusalem during the festivals. There were three times in the year where all the people would sort of flock to Jerusalem as the center of worship and enjoy a feast together. I think it was the Passover, the Feast of Booths, and I'm forgetting the third one. I guess I should have look that up. Does anyone know the third feast? I know they would go for the Feast of Booths or the Feast of Tabernacles. the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is celebrated at Passover. And then there was a third one. It might be the Feast of Ingathering. I'll look that up and get back to you. But there are three times that the Lord commanded that all, especially, particularly all the males would go. But we know from history that they would bring their families, and you would have these huge throngs of people sort of traveling as pilgrims away from their homes. Some people from different countries, not just different regions of Israel, but as people got scattered further and further away from this center of worship, they would come from Africa, they would come from what's now Turkey, all these different areas to Jerusalem to worship. And we know this is why there were so many different nationalities there as Christianity got its start there on Pentecost, because Jerusalem was the seat of worship, and this is where they would gather. And so these 15 songs were kind of like a travel. We used to, when we went on road trips, we used to make little mixtapes. I don't know if anyone's ever done that. Has anyone ever seen a tape? Thankfully, there's not a lot of kids here. Kids are like, what do you mean a tape, a cassette tape? But we all know what cassette tapes are. So you put your favorite songs on there to set the mood for the trip. I'm getting ready to go on a road trip this evening. And you'd have your mixtape and you'd put it in and you'd sing and listen to the music as you go. And so these songs, one way to think about these 15 is this kind of like a mixtape for that journey to Jerusalem. A collection of hymns, very different. Some of them hymns of trouble and repentance. Some of them hymns of hope and praise. Some of them hymns of complaint. But all of them were sung as the people were traveling to Jerusalem. How is that relevant for us? Because we're not going to Jerusalem to worship. We're not traveling. I mean, you may go one day. Some of you might have been there to the Holy Land or something and have enjoyed that experience. But that's not really our experience. Before we look at these Psalms, I just want to look at Hebrews 12, a passage that Brother Carlton also brought us to when he was here. Just to set the context a little bit for these Psalms of Ascent. Hebrews 12 sets up a contrast for the people that heard this letter originally. Now, those who received the book of Hebrews were primarily Jews who had, at least in name, converted to Christianity and were following the way, and yet were constantly kind of wanting to go back to the old way of worshiping God, and confused about the relationship. What happened to all the sacrifices? What happened to all these feasts that we used to devote so much time to? And so again and again, Hebrews is calling its hearers to say, no, Jesus is superior to Moses, Aaron, Melchizedek, and then the law itself. And he goes through all these superiorities, angels. The Lord Jesus is superior, and when you follow Him, you don't need anything else, in a sense. And so in Hebrews 12, he's contrasting two covenants. We don't want to get too deeply into it, but I just want to read this portion where he says in verse 18 of Hebrews 12, "For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given, if even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But," and here's the contrast, "you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. So he's setting up this contrast, and this is why when we see pilgrims traveling to Jerusalem, the physical Jerusalem, Mount Zion, to worship, it should remind us of our approaching the Lord Jesus in worship. He is our Zion. He is our Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the place of peace where God decided to place his name. And he said, I place my name here forever. In this age, the age of grace, the Lord Jesus is that one place where God has put his name. And so those who desire to worship God don't come to Mount Zion and try to follow the law and do their best and make sure they live up to all the Ten Commandments and sacrifice the right amount of animals. But instead, they come to this spiritual Mount Zion, which is the Lord Jesus. And so, as you read through the Psalms of Ascent, it's important to remember that while they had specific meaning for the Israelite living in, say, the area of Dan, the tribe of Dan, and he was called to go down to Jerusalem to worship, or I should say go up to Jerusalem to worship, it means something even more to us as we are approaching Christ himself in worship. And I think it has relevance for personal time with the Lord. I almost think as I crack open my Bible in the morning and bow my head before him, it's almost as if I'm coming to, he is my Mount Zion, and I'm worshiping him, even there in my house. I don't need to go get a plane ticket over there and take a pilgrimage. He's there with me. And I think it has relevance for us, even as we're gathering here and we break the bread together. We're not gathering to the bread. We're not gathering to the wine, right? We're gathering to the name of the Lord Jesus alone. We're not gathering to one another. I might look forward to seeing you, but I'm not here for Kazi, right? I'm not, thankfully, I'm not gathering to you, but we're gathering to the Lord Jesus. So these songs of ascent, I think, can have spiritual truth that's important for us in our worship. So let's just look at the way these psalms are given to us. And I'm not going to take these one by one and go through a full like recap of the Bible study. That's not my goal. But I did want to just touch on each psalm, and this is the way that I'd like to do it. What is the other?
Seven feasts. One is a feast of Passover, the feast of unleavened bread, the feast of first fruits, the feast of Pentecost, the feast of trumpets, the feast of atonement, and the last, not the least, the feast of tabernacles.
Yes.
Seven.
But there were only three that required, sorry to bring an incomplete word here this morning. There were three that the Lord wanted everyone to attend. The Feast of Weeks. I think that is right. I think it's the Feast of Weeks that is the third feast. So we'll set that aside for a second. But I'm pretty sure that it was the Feast of Weeks was the third. Thank you. Here's what, as many people have read through the Songs of Ascent, they find a pattern emerging. There's 15 psalms, but it's almost as if they're arranged in this interesting way. Five groups of three. And this is the interesting thing, at least to me, because as you read through it, you'll notice that there's certain repetitions that you come across in these psalms. And as we're reading through them, I'd like to just touch on one group of three for each message. That's the thought that the Lord has laid on my heart. So we have Psalm 120, 21, and 22 is the first little triple, the first trio. And then you go to the next three. And one of the things that you see in this grouping is that each one begins with a psalm of distress and then moves through in the second psalm, a psalm of dependence, and then arrives in the third psalm, in the psalm of delight. So from distress through dependence to delight. And then sadly, back to distress, which I think is, this is the interesting thing about seeing these psalms as presenting a pattern. Because you might feel like, wow, it's great to move from distress through dependence on the Lord to delight, and now let me just stay there. But that's not the way life works. Oftentimes, we go through those same cycles in our life. You might be on a high one day, but then you find that you're passing right back through a valley in a coming day. But one of the reasons I like to think of this as a psalm of ascent, of rising, and I wish I had something to draw on, but I should have done something on the computer, but this isn't a simple circle where you start with distress, you go to dependence, you go to delight, and then back to distress. It's not just an endless circle. What we find in these psalms is a circular spiral that rises up. Every time the psalmist arrives back at distress, it's almost as if he's higher up. Because he's passed through dependence on the Lord, delighting in Him. Now, life isn't perfect after that, but when he faces that distress again, it's almost as if he's risen to a higher plane now. And he's ready to meet it head on with confidence in God. Then he moves to dependence. And so you get this picture of a spiral ascending through those three phases. So that's the idea. That's the sketch for these psalms. And so for today, I just wanted to look briefly at the first three, just to give us a sense of how the psalmist presents his situation, so we can see that pattern, and then we'll see how it plays out somewhat imperfectly, but I think edifyingly, in the other four groups of three. So I actually just want to read the first psalm, which is Psalm 120. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and He answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows and glowing coals of the broom tree. Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. This is a great place to begin. And this is just shows that just because you follow the Lord doesn't mean every day is peachy and every day is wonderful. And we meet this traveler, this pilgrim, at a low point. He's dwelling on the fringes of Israel. It says Meshech and Kedar, they're not close to each other, but they're both very far from Jerusalem. One is in the desert, the Arabian desert. And so you get this sense where I'm far from the place of blessing. It reminds me, you don't have to turn there, but it reminds me of Psalm 42 when the psalm by the psalms of the sons of Korah. And he says in verse 5, halfway through the verse, my soul was cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Right? In other words, he's far from the temple. He's far from the place of blessing. And so that's why he says in verse 2, when shall I come and appear before God? This is the heart of the pilgrim. And I think it's the heart of us as well. When we're in those moments of distress, have you ever been, maybe at your workplace or watching the news, which again, I don't recommend, but in a conversation and just seeing, man, the world is a difficult place. There's bad things happening. There's bad people out there doing bad things. And sometimes you just get tired of being surrounded by negativity all the time. And I think that's what this man was feeling. He was far from the place of worship, far from Jerusalem. And he's getting that, you get that sense. He says, he starts off, in my distress, I called to the Lord. What a great thing to do. If you're in distress, don't complain. This is something else that Brother Carlton reminded me of. We don't want to be a complaining people. Oh, what's the world coming to? You know, that doesn't do any good, right? Instead of what's the world coming to, we call out to the Lord and say, Lord, help me in my distress. I'm distressed here. There's nothing wrong. He wants us to tell him. So if you're feeling like that, how worse is it going to get? Oh, I'm watching the news and all these terrible things. I have to turn it every time because my son is watching and these terrible things come on and I flick the channel. And so this psalmist, and then it's as if he hears the call. Let's go up to Jerusalem for worship. And you can imagine him saying, great, I'm done with this place. You know, let me leave behind this place where no one is for peace. Everyone is for war, fighting, conflict. I want to go with the people of God to worship my God. And this is the real benefit of the Christian way. We have a remedy for times of distress. The remedy is not get to know yourself better. The remedy is not just hang on, it's going to be brighter, right? All of those things are recipes for disaster. The remedy for distress comes right in the first verse. Call out to the Lord. And what do we find? He answered me. And so this is why it's as if he's starting his journey. He's packing his bag and he's heading up to Jerusalem. This is where you and I need to go as well. Maybe that means coming to the meeting. Pack your bag and come to the meeting. Come to the place of worship. Maybe that means waking up a little earlier to have that time of personal worship and devotion with God. Instead of wallowing in our complaints, let's approach Him in our distress. Psalm 121 is one of the most loved songs of ascent. And we find here a real emphasis on dependence on the Lord. And so he moves from a place of distress to a place of dependence. And this is why the word help is so key in this passage. And actually, I think we spoke on this psalm a while ago, and I don't want to spend too much time going back over it. But this is a song of journey. He's journeying. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So on his journey to Jerusalem, there's hills to climb. There's danger to pass through. And it's as if he says, where am I going to get my help? Who's going to help me do this difficult thing that I need to do as I'm trying to worship the Lord? It says, my help comes from the Lord. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. And then in verse 8, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And so let this be your pattern and my pattern. When I'm in a time of distress, I pray that this is my next stop. Dependence on the Lord. When you need help, go to Him. There's nothing wrong with reading books. Well, I shouldn't say there's nothing wrong. There's a lot of self-help mantras out there. There's a lot of psychology. There's a lot of psychiatry. There's a lot of tricks to the trade to help boost your self-esteem and all these different things. Where do you turn when you're in distress? What do you depend on? What do you lean on? Does anyone remember our memory verse that had the word lean in it? What is that verse? You know it, Kazi, right? What is that verse? Lean not on your own understanding. Dependence, the root of the word is to lean. To hang. Almost like you're hanging on something. What are you hanging your hopes on? Your own understanding? Are you hanging your hopes on maybe a guru that you saw on the TV? Wow, everything he says is great. I'm going to buy his book. I'm going to follow his instruction, right? God can use a lot of different things, but ultimately we want to depend on God as our help. He is our help and our helper. Can anyone be a better helper than him? No one. He made the heavens and the earth. If you're worried about figuratively, how are you going to hike through that mountain pass without tripping and falling off the cliff? Hope in the one who made the mountain pass, right? He doesn't need a map, right? He made the path that you're on. So you can depend on him. And there's even this little promise. See in verse 8, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. You know, as much as this psalmist of 120 doesn't like his hometown, he's not moving to Jerusalem. He will eventually go back, right? And this is true of us. Jesus said, my will is not that they be removed from the world, right? He has work for you to do in that place where you are, that workplace where nobody loves the Lord, or school, or wherever you find yourself. That community online, some of you who like to get online and you might be involved in talking with people online. And sometimes those can get nasty, those kind of online forums and stuff. God may have work for you to do there. But we want to let the Lord be the one who keeps our going out and our coming in. And then lastly, in Psalm 122, look at the way it begins. I was glad. And so he moves from distress through dependence to delight. And in each of these third psalms that we're going to find, there's real beauty there. There's peace that the psalmist finds. There's delight and joy. Because what happens? I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. There, thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Now, we spent a lot of time in this psalm during the Bible study, kind of picking apart the details. But I think what we can find right away is he made it. Right? The pilgrim is there, and he's like, I'm standing in Jerusalem looking at the beauty of the city. And this is what happens when we look at the Lord Jesus and we see his beauty that far surpasses anything we can comprehend. Then we say, I was glad to be there. You know, sometimes that's how I feel when I leave. I was glad to be there this morning. Or I was glad to be there Thursday night. Because it's like I was looking around at the city. Look at the beauty of these walls. Now, don't look at the beauty of these walls. I've never really been keen on this paneling, personally. But if the Lord Jesus is that house, right? We are his house. Then he is beautiful beyond our comprehension. And so when we contemplate him and the beauty of his love for us, the beauty of his devotion to the Father, his blessed obedience rare, sometimes we sing about that. Those hymns that speak of his wonder and beauty, that's what we're doing. We can delight and find joy in the presence of God during worship. And we see just two things are located in Jerusalem: throne and temple. Right? And so all through these songs, you have those two things kind of standing there. That's where the throne of David is, and that's where the house of the Lord is. And of course, both of those find their unity in Jesus Christ, who is himself prophet, priest, and king. So we go to Jerusalem, our heavenly Jerusalem, in worship, and we contemplate the beauty of the Lord. And this can be something that brings delight in a world that oftentimes is not delightful. Right? And so, don't neglect the worship of the Lord. You're cheating yourself. Much less, of course, you're cheating God of his worship that he is due. And that is very true. He is worthy of your worship. But you're also cheating yourself. If you just sit and turn the TV on instead of going to worship, you're cheating yourself. Because to be in the presence of God, worshiping at his feet, is to find full delight. And this is really what our heart desires, is to worship and praise the God who made us and the Savior who bought us. So, God willing, we can return in future weeks and think about the way this pattern kind of plays itself out, again, imperfectly, but I think helpfully, in the rest of these 12 Psalms. So, and spend some time on your own, maybe meditating on these beautiful, short songs, and I pray they'd be an encouragement to your heart. I know they have for us on Thursdays, and so we give him all the glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen.